Hey everyone, it's Melanie Johnson. Thanks for joining us today. We're here for another great podcast. I'm the owner and founder of Elite Online Publishing, along with my business partner, Jen Foster. Hey, Jen.
Hey everyone, how's it going today?
All right, well, today we're going to talk about estate planning, getting your trust right, how to give the government less, keep more with your family, a succession plan. I know I am due to redo mine. I mean, it's been probably a good 10 years. Maybe more since I've done mine. I need to re-up that. And so if you're interested in that, everyone should have one. You really should plan for the future, plan with the end in mind. So our friend Kyle Campbell, he is total expert at this today. And since this has been on my plate to get done, I thought he would be a great person to have in. And he's a fellow Spartan. We both went to Michigan State. So you gotta love the alumni group. You gotta keep them close in. Kyle, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Well, tell us, Kyle, how you got started and how you got into your industry.
It's a little longer story. I'll try to go through it quickly, but I grew up in the Detroit area, obviously. We've got a family business up there that is heavy industrial contracting, but non-union. So we've been around now 77 years, but it's definitely come at a pretty high toll. So what I really do, I mean, I'm in the insurance industry working with advanced planning, but the easiest way while I sell insurance, what I really sell is, a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas and understanding how to solve family dynamics and use insurance. So what happened, I flash back, I was about 10 years old. My dad is one of three brothers. He's the oldest. He was probably 40 at the time, brothers 35, 33. Each of the brothers had three kids. Everybody needed money. Who doesn't need money in their 30s and early 40s? Well, my dad's partners with his parents. And it's probably August that year, both my grandparents get diagnosed with stage four lung cancer. So we're already anticipating a pretty rough holiday coming up, but our holidays were typically spent with that side of the family. Well, my grandparents pass away within about 2 to 3 months. What I saw as a 10-year-old, though, is I lost two grandparents, two aunts, two uncles, and six cousins due to the passing. And then the lawsuit that followed from that. And the reason for that was that my dad was partners with his parents, handshake agreement. Two other brothers were not in the company. And they didn't have any life insurance. And they had a handshake on the plan. And the two brothers felt like they were disinherited because the business was going to my dad. Well, they were expanding, everything was in the business, and the business was just barely making it. It wasn't like there was a bunch of excess money to fight over. Everybody's been successful, but it wasn't all there. Well, so I mean, we look at it, and I know that really kind of drove me of we've got to plan better. So my dad did plan better. I ended up working in the company right out of college. I was 21, but my dad and my older brother is really my dad's clone. They are two peas in a pod. My older brother was helping him work in plants and on job sites at 13. I was caddying at 13. I was wanting to play baseball, buy baseball cards, wanted to golf. So my older brother really started in the business 8 years ahead of me, and he was also 5 years older. So he was 13 years more experienced than I did. So my dad had done his planning. He had offset where my younger brother and I got in, life insurance proceeds and other assets is what we would have, and my brother had the business. So I worked there for 10 years, but being non-union in Detroit, we really didn't make a lot of sense to get real big. The unions caused some pretty big issues. So we kind of reached a point. I told my dad I was overpaid for what I did, but undervalued on the market. I went to grad school, got recruited down to Texas to turn around a division of a corporation, did that for a year, hated corporate America, and went into, okay, how do I go help business owners avoid the pitfalls that my family fell into? And how do I help them? And insurance was really where that passion lied. So I worked with Northwestern Mutual for 7 years. And then my partner here approached me and said, hey, we want to revamp the way insurance is done. And we want to have creation of a risk management family office. So that's what we do is we cover all lines of insurance, primarily for business owners and high net worth individuals, kind of like partners in a law firm. So my specialty is advanced life insurance, advanced compensation, estate planning, that space. And then we've got a full property and casualty division, a full private lines division for million-dollar homes and ups. You know, you're thinking yachts, planes, art collection. And then we've got a health insurance and PEO division as well. And we run it. My clients come to me for, I tell them, if it has insurance in the name, call me. I'll get it done. And I manage a lot of the other different lines, almost like a project manager, while self-performing all the life insurance piece.
So, you know, my family's been in the insurance business since I was born. My dad started as an insurance agent. He went from Kenny Shoes, if you're anyone remembers Kenny Shoes out there, and I got passed over for a management position and then went into insurance. And so I'm really familiar with all of this and having all the lines of insurance, but a lot of people think of like insurance as car insurance, you know, house insurance. What are some of the other things that really encompass the estate planning for insurance, and why should they have these other levels of insurance?
So a lot of it comes into, that's where it's life insurance comes into play. And I try to explain to people, it's what I work to do is help solve family dynamic issues by allowing people to plan. It's really hard to plan when you think of an estate plan is, let's say you've got three kids, you've got a family business. Typically one, maybe two of the kids are involved in the business. One of the kids might be a teacher or a social worker or work at a not-for-profit, just not have interest in the business, and one might be another successful professional. But if the bulk of the family's wealth is in the business, then what you have happening is parents want to treat the kids equally, or at least they want to treat them fairly. It's not always e fair is not always equal. But the problem is, if you got three kids, typically each kid is thinking, you know, the parents thinking a third. And the kids are typically thinking like half. The math doesn't add up. Where we come in with insurance is that's the way we can create assets at death. We're only trying to solve a one variable equation, which is what happens at death of the patriarch, matriarch. And the life insurance allows us to go in and create additional liquid net worth. And the point of that is now the family can have these discussions beforehand. Like if feelings are going to be hurt, they're going to be hurt regardless of when the conversation happens. But it's really hard for the parents to tell their side of the story after they're gone. If you have, you know, you've got a $20 million business and three kids and one kid's involved in the company, well, those other two kids are thinking, well, I'm going to get, it's worth 20, I should get like 7 million. Not necessarily, because a business worth 20 is like you can't just turn that into cash. So we'll help clients sometimes. Hey, let's have the business buy two $5 million policies and let's have a discussion with the kids and say, look, here's the choice. You can come in and work in the business and earn what you do, or you can take life insurance proceeds here and other assets. But at this point, we are going to divide the business out of the equation. So and so child is going to run the company. That's their inheritance. If they run it into the ground, well, they got a problem. If they make it a $100 million company, they earned it. But you've got a choice now. Do you want the cash in this, or do you want in on the company? How do you want to do this? And allow the kids to feel empowered and allow the parents to explain what their thought process is. So it's, yes, it's insurance, but it's just how do we keep the family together? Because otherwise, it's inevitable. They almost always fall apart.
Well, and it's tax season right now, so what are some of the tax savings or tax benefits you can have from having life insurance?
So people don't realize that obviously, life insurance death benefit is tax-free, income tax-free. It's still included in an estate calculation unless you move it outside of your estate into a trust. There's also the advantage we have a lot of business owners that use it because you can grow money tax-free inside a policy. And that cash, at least in Texas, is also creditor and judgment protected. So we have a lot of businesses that will go in and run money through life insurance because you don't, it's rare you get the warning of when somebody's going to pass away. It's many times sudden. So having this cash that you run the business on run through the life insurance provides key man and buy sell type coverage on the critical people of the company. Now you've got life insurance on that emergency what if. It's become, we had a client up in New York that we did a review of existing insurance, and that's a lot of times where we start. And they had 3.5 million of whole life, and whole life is a cash. It's like owning a house. You've got cash built up, equity inside of it, and then death benefit. We were able to take that 3.5 million and turn it into a $7 million guaranteed death benefit. You don't, you give up access to the cash now, but you've traded it for death benefit. That's what they needed to solve for. But then we also identified with that person is that they were, from a liquidity standpoint, really heavily underinsured. They were very successful. They had about $100 million in real estate. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, if they died and the estate tax is triggered, now they owe 40 cents on the dollar for everything over 25 million roughly right now. Mm-hmm. So 75 million in net worth at 40%, you had $28, $29 million tax bill coming due when they passed. So we've got enough cash to cover that. And what it does is it's twofold. Well, we did all this, and not 3 years later, the person passed away suddenly. Total surprise. So the family was in the office talking about it. They said, look, not only did you turn the 3.5 to 7, that was huge, but the fact you got the other 30 million in, that actually saved our family $50 to $60 million. And you're like, wait, how does that math work? The 30 million to cover the estate tax meant they did not have to sell real estate. You own $100 million in real estate. Your competitors know you own $100 million in real estate. You die and they know you've got to come up with $30 million in cash. They're not offering you, you know, 95 cents on the dollar. They're offering you 75 cents on the dollar because they know you need cash. Mm-hmm. The having the liquidity meant this family was able to pay the estate tax, not have to sell the real estate at a discount, and now work through how are they going to run the companies from there. And then you had asked on the tax side, people do need to be aware, end of next year, that estate tax number I gave you of 25 million for a married couple cuts in half. Mm. And that's not proposed legislation. That's already in the legislation. It is going to happen unless they pass new legislation. And I just don't know if the political capital is there to help the wealthy be more wealthy.
So what does that mean? Break that down for us. So from 25 to 12, does that mean that you can't write off as much? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. So right now, if you had a married couple and they both passed away, the first 24 to 26 million right now can go to the next generation without an additional estate tax, and the generation gets a step up in basis. What that means is, let's say they bought 10 million of real estate and it grew to 25 million. You would owe capital gains on that $15 million gain.
Yeah.
Except when it passes, you get a step up in basis. Now you received it and your basis is 25 million, not the 10 million they initially paid.
Yeah.
But that changes in about a year and a half.
But can that you keep it in a trust? If it's in a trust, if the real estate's in the trust, then you don't have to pay. That is not applicable, right?
Correct. It's outside the estate tax because you don't have control.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you're worth $25 million, are you okay being worth zero tomorrow because you moved $25 million into a trust for the family? No. Nobody's giving up full control of that money because now it's in the trust.
Trustee. Yeah, whoever decides. Unless they're the trustee. Yeah, or they have it. All right. And on that same basis, you talk about, I mean, all this is such moving parts. So about how often does someone have to analyze and redo their plan? Like I talked about, gosh, it's been almost 10 years, maybe 13 years since I've done mine. How often should somebody look at their estate plan and go over their insurance needs and what triggers it? Like if you buy real estate, should you, that year you should be reevaluating?
So up until this last year, I would have said you should be reviewing your insurance relationships at least every 3 years. Mm-hmm. 3 to 5 years. Look at it, especially life insurance. You should, because products have changed significantly. Like have it reviewed and have an understanding of what it is with a new set of eyes, not necessarily the same agent. because they have conflicting goals. But when now when it comes to property and liability in those areas, you've got to be looking at it heavily every year, because with all the natural disasters, hurricanes, wildfires, property rates have gone through the roof. Auto claims have gone through the roof. You really need to be exploring it. And we see clients exploring it now yearly, at least. We always review ours with our existing ones and look at the different carriers, but people need to be open to a second set of eyes on what they have going on, just because it's changing so fast. And what worked last year might not necessarily work. And that really, for us, that's where our model becomes so critical. I'll give you kind of the inside baseball in my industry. Is unfortunately, my industry is filled with a lot of C students and snake oil salesmen. I don't have a better way to say it. The barrier to entry is extremely low to get licensed. Kind of the same way that you see somebody just all of a sudden became a realtor that doesn't have real estate experience. The licensing process and the barrier is very low. So people can get into selling life insurance, especially life insurance, very easily. And there's a lot of way to manipulate the amount of commission paid on things like that. So that's where bad actors become an issue. And so our model has been to work advisor to advisor. We get introduced primarily through CPAs, wealth management advisors, trust and estate attorneys, and we work hand in hand with them to help the client address their needs. It's not, I don't want an uninformed yes any more than I want an uninformed no on what we're doing. It's not what a client is willing to say, yes, I'll buy that. I want $20 million of life insurance. Sounds amazing. No, let's talk with your attorneys and CPAs and let's figure out the inherent life insurance or personal insurance deal that is needed and let's get it done.
Tell us, Kyle, what states do you work in and what's the name of your company?
So our company's Hotalian Insurance. You can find us at hotalianinsurance.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest place to connect on there. We work in all 50 states. Not a problem. We can look at anything, anywhere. The licensing is very easy from state to state. And then we also, because of that, we've got a pretty good Rolodex of advisors we can connect people with. Because, like, legal for lawyers, they have state bars. So a lawyer in Texas can't necessarily do a trust in Wyoming. You've got to connect them to the right places. And there's all these different states and laws where they treat things differently, and trust that it becomes a pretty big issue if you don't have the relationships.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I learned a lot. I took a lot of notes. And so the lesson for everybody is review your insurance, review your estate planning, review your trust, get a trust if you don't have a trust, and work with the right people. And laws change all the time. So I guess, with taxes and insurance and estate planning, all has to be every year now. I add that to your calendar.
Yeah, if you have the right group of advisors, they're talking about it and keeping you ahead of the game on what you should be thinking about and considering. Because big decisions don't just happen overnight. You typically have to marinate it on some and determine, okay, what do I want to do? So you need to have those active relationships and that engagement.
Terrific. Well, thanks for joining us. Rewatch this, share it with your friends who need help, and contact Kyle Campbell at Hotelling Insurance. We'll see you next time. And if you're thinking about writing a book, contact us at Elite Online Publishing if you want to become a thought leader in your field, and we'll make you a best-selling author. See you next time.
Bye.
Hi.
Hey, are you looking to increase your revenue, build credibility, and elevate your brand? This podcast is brought to you by Elite Online Publishing, an innovative publishing and full spectrum marketing company. They will publish and market your book to make it a number one bestseller. Becoming an author is the best way to market your business. So contact them at eliteonlinepublishing.com today. All of their authors become number one bestsellers.